Romans chapter 1. And what we're going to do is we're going to start with verse 29. Now, in the last several weeks, we have covered we covered homosexuality when we backed up and we read down through. And then last week we unfolded some of the other sins because, you know, we didn't want to leave anybody out. So we started covering some of the other sins. And that's what we're going to do is we're going to finish uncovering the other sins. And basically all we're going to do is allow you to see what they look like. Because, you know, sometimes we read these lists in the Bible, but we don't really grab hold of what they look like. So we don't know how to apply it to our lives or we don't recognize it when somebody else is living it out because we simply just read the words, but we didn't have understanding of the words. And so my job is to help you understand the words. Amen? Amen. So as we unfold this this morning, we are going to, you know, last week we looked at how they rejected God, and then how God, and then what that looked like for them. And so what we're going to look at today is their wicked conduct. So we looked at how they rejected God. Now we're going to look at the sinner. And when I say they, I'm talking about the sinner. I'm talking about those who exist today. How many would that be? Who in here would these passages pertain to? Raise your hand. Everybody. So if you're sitting there thinking that you're higher than mighty, you are not. And if you're sitting there thinking that, oh, when we hit homosexuality, he left me alone only momentarily. And so now that we are coming here and finishing this, my goal is to capture your attention so that you understand what the Bible says about sinful lifestyles and what that looks like. So in verse 22, 122, I just want you to look at this for a moment. In verse 122, it says, professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. And then he goes on. And so then I want you to jump down here. In verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. And so what we see here is there were things that happened and people were living out certain lifestyles, and God says, you know what, here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to turn this over and I'm going to give it to you. And you can live your lifestyle just the way you want, but I want you to understand that in a lifestyle, anything other than or contrary to the word of God brings death. Now we don't like to hear that, and that's harsh, and it hurts our feelings, and you might go, Pastor, I don't like the way you preach because you hurt my feelings, and I don't feel real good when I leave your church because God's word isn't nice. Well, we'll get past this chapter. Just hang in there, right? It'll get nice eventually. I don't know when, but hang in there long enough and everything gets good. Amen. And even if you don't like it, you, like everything else, will get numb to it, and then it won't hurt your feelings anymore. You'll get used to hearing it. Okay. That was the positive. All right. So in 29, he goes here, 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. And then in 29, he starts, and he says here, being filled with all unrighteousness. Now, I shared this last week, and I'm going to quickly cover it again, just kind of catch you up. And for those that went to sleep, you're going to get a little bit of a recap. And so, if you went to sleep last week, you'll stay awake this week and you'll get it. Being filled means a consistent or a constant pouring in of evil or being filled with evil. It's a consistent thing. In other words, it's not that you are instantly filled, it's that you are being filled. And the more you practice ungodliness, the more ungodly you become. And the longer you stay ungodly, the more that becomes who you are. And it becomes in your character, it becomes in your conduct, it becomes in your vocabulary. And so what's happening is he says being filled, it is that constant filling of evilness. So when he turns you over and he says, listen, okay, you know what? Here's the deal. My hand is off of you. And so all those times I was protecting you and trying to keep you and trying to preserve you, because remember we read in Proverbs where it said God called out and he reached out and he attempted and he tried and he did all these things to keep us holy. Here's what he says. Fine, I'm no longer going to do that. And so you know what? You think you know the way? You think you know what's right? You go head on, big boy, big girl, and you live your life without me and see how well it goes. And he turns you over and lets you live that lifestyle. Now, since you have no influence of God in your life that you're paying attention to, remember, because you thought you were wise, but then you ended up being foolish. And the Bible says, by the way, that there is a way unto man that he thinks is right, but in the end, it leads to death. And what he's saying is anything contrary to my word, you're going to die. It's not right. And so when he says, I've let you go, and then you go, okay, great, I'm free. Woohoo, no more. Remember when you left your parents' house and you said, yeah, I'm free. I can go do whatever I want. I can. And then all of a sudden you find out, oh my, hey, mom, how do you cook this? Hey, dad, how do you fix this? Hey, right? And you all of a sudden you realize, wow, I really need their wisdom. And if you don't get it, what do? You burn the cake and wreck the car. It's just kind of what happens. And God says, listen, when you take me out, any righteousness or any goodness or any good direction or any strength that you would have got from me, you forfeited it. And now you're on your own. And it's going to get tough. It's going to get tough. Because you know what? Kind of like when your parents say, fine, you want on your own? You don't want to listen? You want to do it your way? Go ahead. And then you come up with about $300 short on your rent. And you call home and they go, they're going to throw me out. And they're going to turn off my light bill. Can I have $300? I love you so much. And you're so awesome. And then parents go, oh, no. You're a big girl now, and you're a big boy, right? Pull up them panties and go. You're on your own, right? We do that. And so that's what God says. When you call on God, God goes, oh, no. Oh, no, I gave you what you wanted, and now you got to live with it. And God will do that. There's a time where God says that you will call upon him, and he will not hear you. He will not listen to you. Why? Because you're on your own. That's a scary place to be, guys. And so this is what he's talking about, that being filled is that now you are on your own. Well, once you're on your own and you're being filled with wickedness, that wickedness starts taking over your entire thought, because all of a sudden you start thinking, oh, how can I get this without working for it? Or how can I do this and nobody will know about it? And it's those wicked things that come in. And then you start creating things and doing things that shouldn't be done and things that shouldn't be created. And next thing you know, this wickedness is being filled in you because you don't have God to offset it. And I'm going to tell you, the only reason that we didn't run the streets of Baltimore everywhere else is by the grace of God. Amen. We look at it and go, man, this is not God honoring, and we're not going to get involved in it. But I'm going to tell you, when they don't have God, they're filled with wickedness, and that's the things that they do. How many seen the mom that snatched up that 16-year-old boy? You go, mom. Yeah. Right? I loved it, man, all the way down the street. Come here, come, boy. Right? How many seen? Amen. I'm telling you, you go, mom. I was cheering her on. Knock him out. Knock him out. Okay, I'm kidding. It wasn't that bad. But I was in it with her. Okay, All right. First thing we're looking at today is their wicked conduct. Their wicked conduct. And of course, character will eventually show up in conduct. Amen. Listen, it's only a matter of time before who you are comes out. And it's not what comes out of the mouth or what goes into the stomach that destroys a man, but it's what comes out of the mouth. Because what comes out of the mouth is the indicator of the heart. And so all of a sudden their lifestyle becomes very wicked. And so if we look in verse 29, look here in verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, and it goes on. And so what we see is is their debauchery and their and fornication. And by the way, the word fornication speaks of unlawful sexual activity. It describes sexual immorality in general. Webster defines fornication as the incontinence, which is no restraint, free, or uncontrolled indulgence of the passions, or lewdness of unmarried persons, male or female. And then it goes on and says, also the criminal, now listen, the criminal conversation or behavior of a married man with an unmarried woman. Fornication. And so we are to leave fornication alone. And what do we see more than anything today is we see male and female living together. Out, why? Because we got to see if we got to see if we really love each other and if it's going to work. So we're going to live together. What are they saying? Well, there's no commitment in that first off. There's no commitment. There's nothing. Listen, because here's what you did. We're living together. That is my out. I have left a way out of the relationship in case I am not getting what I want. And people say they're godly and they love Jesus and they're living with somebody. And I'm just going to tell you, if you are living with somebody and you are having sexual relations with that person, you are wrong. You are ungodly. Don't tell me you love Jesus because you love yourself more. And you go, oh, that's getting personal. Tell God. He wrote it. I'm just repeating it. And so as we look at it, in 1 Corinthians 6:9 and 10, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. Go into 10. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And so let me explain this, because you know what? Some of you are drunks. Some of you are adulterers. Of course, we don't know about it because you hide it so well. Some of you are fornicators. Some of you are practicing the very sins that these passages went just covered. Now, here's the question you have to ask yourself, because, you know, there's some here that are practicing these sins, and what you are is you're a wayward son or daughter. You have just decided to leave the hand of God. You want to live your own life. You truly got saved at some point, but you are a backslider. You are the prodigal son, if you will. And so there are some of those. But then there's some of you that are here, and you know what? You don't even recognize that lifestyle as being wrong. Okay, I don't mean to burst your bubble. Is everybody holding on? Pretend you have a seatbelt and click it. Everybody, come on, work with me. Okay. You're not saved. You don't know Jesus as your Savior. And you know what that means? If you were to die right now, you would go to hell. And you go, I don't like that, Pastor. I don't either. That's what I'm telling you. I don't like the thought of it. I don't like the idea of it. But that, isn't that what that passage just said? Put up 1 Corinthians again, 9 and 10. Put it back up, please. Do you not know? Listen. He's saying, I want you to understand. That's what he's saying. Grab hold of this, guys. He's trying to get your attention. I want you to understand. I want you to get this. I want you to see what I have to say. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not, look at that. So when I said it, guys, I'm just repeating what the Bible says, will not inherit the kingdom of God. You're not going to heaven. Do not be, what's that next word? Deceived. Don't be deceived. Don't believe the lie. God says, if you love me, you're going to curb your selfish appetite. You're going to curb it. You're going to live righteous. Well, what does living righteous look like? Well, no fornicators, no idolaters, no adulterers, no homosexuals, no sodomites. Next, come on. Keep up with me. No thieves, no covetous, no drunkards, no revelers, no extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. So guys, I want you to see God's saying, don't deceive yourselves. You know, I was talking to a guy yesterday and he goes, I'm religious. And I love when people say I'm religious because it leaves the door open for me to respond. And to which I responded, you know, religion will send you to hell. And I go, but if you're religious, help me out here, work with me. If you're religious, how do you get to heaven? I mean, tell me, man, do you believe in heaven? Yeah, okay. And I go, how do you get to heaven? And so he's like, well, if you're good enough, then God's going to look at that, and he's going to look at your heart, and he's going to weigh out what you've done, and then he's going to allow you to choose if you want to stay there with him or if you want to come back and be a different family member or a different this or a different that. And I go, really? And he said, yeah. And I go, man, listen, I'm just really, really curious. Where did you get your information? He goes, well, I got it from this religion and this religion and a little bit of this religion. And some of it I just came to the conclusion by myself. And I said, can I share something with you? And he goes, sure, I'm a big boy. Go ahead. And he was. He's bigger than me. And he sat up straight and he gave me this look of, I'm listening. I said, according to the Bible, you're going to hell. I know, that's the first time I met him, right? Why would you do that? And I said, according to the Bible, you're going to hell. And he did this, which is what I always get. You know, everything is so calculated with people. He goes, really? I go, really? And so I broke it down. I started explaining to him that it's God's way. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father. No one gets to heaven except through me. And so the whole point is, don't be deceived in that you think you're good enough, or you think your behavior is good enough, your righteousness is good enough, your actions are good enough, you give enough money, you act a certain way, you're morally acceptable only because you haven't been caught with your immorality. Listen, don't put something else in there that doesn't belong. And then you tell people Jesus is the only way, and this is the next response I get. Well, that's just too easy. If it's so easy, why haven't you done it? Right? Why haven't you surrendered your life? Why haven't you given your life to Christ? And then, of course, the next answer is, well, because, look, I'm not going to give up my lifestyle. Ah. Understand this. Pull that verse up again, please. I'm going to beat this one into the ground if you haven't noticed. Do you not know? Understand. Listen. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Guys, it is God's way or no way. And you know what? The interesting thing is, when I talked to this man yesterday, he said, well, I took some from this religion and from this religion and from this religion, and some of it I came up with on my own. Well, let me just tell you this. Somebody's wrong. Would you agree with that? I mean, somebody's wrong. Listen, you know, there is one truth. One truth and only one truth. There is always one truth, and then the rest is a lie. And it might even come close to the truth, but it's still a lie. So let's just look at it this way. The truth is, I have no hair. Now, some of you would go, well, you have hair because if you let it grow. No, you don't understand. There's nothing to grow. The truth is, I am bald. Nothing would change that, right? Right now, anyway. Of course, I could go to, what is that? What, Vern signed up for that? What is it? Yeah. Bosley, is it Bosley? Milton, is that, did you try that? Oh. I was waiting to see who was going to spit it out, and then I go, oh, yeah, you know you tried it, huh? How expensive is it? I hear it's like $300 a month. Yeah. Isn't that crazy? And I'm like, man, a Bic is only like $4, and it lasts me 2 months. I'm in for the Bic. I'm sorry. I am too cheap to have hair. At any rate, listen, the truth is, there's but one truth. And what you come up with in your mind, how many here have ever come up with a conclusion and then been wrong in your conclusion? Exactly. So that ought to tell you right there that you may have missed the mark and you might just want to believe God's word. It's never been wrong. God said, I'm going to preserve it, and he's preserved it. He said, I'm going to preserve the church. He's preserved the church. Listen, God's word has stood for thousands of years, not millions of years, because the earth isn't that old. Just throw that out there for no reason. But God says, I don't want you, listen, do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. And then he lists. And so my whole point is, guys, we're talking about the wicked conduct. And if you think that your conduct is okay, and this is what else I get. And I'm just kind of like, guys, I told you, I'm not leaving anybody out, so I'm going to capture somebody. It's like, why use a rifle when you can use a shotgun? It spreads out more. And so the other thing is people, they sit there and they justify their sin. And they go, or they take advantage. Well, God forgives us anyway. If that's your mentality, you're probably not saved. If your mentality is, well, I can do what I want and God's going to forgive me, you don't understand God. Because God's word clearly says he'll cast you out. He doesn't have to forgive you. He can toss you to the side. And so you need to grab hold of that. And so the next thing that I want you to look at, 1 Thessalonians 4:3, if you'll put that up. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. Now your sanctification is your growth process. What happens is you receive Jesus as your Savior, and then a sanctification happens where you start your process of growing in the knowledge of God. And so that's why he says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, your growth in him and his understanding, your growth in the Holy Spirit, that you are empowered and that you grow and you understand. Because when you understand what's right and wrong, you're more apt to not do the wrong. Amen. Unless your conduct is wicked, because you're wicked. And so then he goes on, he says, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. What I found really interesting is that when you read through the New Testament, I think all but two, because I remember reading it and studying out, and I think all but two books in the New Testament tell you, no sexual immorality, no fornication, no sexual immorality, abstain from sexual immorality, no sexual immorality. Every book has that in there. Why does that have it in there? I think because that's the number one thing that destroys people. Sexual immorality. And so every book says, for this is the will of God. How many have ever wondered what the will of God is for your life? Booyah! For this is the will of God, your sanctification, your growth process, that you should abstain. Abstain means don't do it. And even back in that day, abstain meant the same thing. Don't do it. So we can't change the definition of the words from sexual immorality. You stay away from that lifestyle. He is telling you. And what is sexual immorality? Anything with anybody that you are not married to. Period. You can't even explain that or justify it away. It's just what it is. Abstain from it. Don't do it. If you want to grow spiritually, how many have ever, you're great, man, you're growing and life is good and you feel empowered and you feel strong because you're living for God and you're doing what's right, and then all of a sudden you decide to sin, and I say decided because, you know, people are like, I fell into sin. No, you didn't. You made a conscious decision to defy God. And you're like, Pastor, you don't understand. Yes, I do. Because, listen, when I mess up, it is a conscious decision to defy God. And guess what? Nobody's any different. When we sin, it doesn't just happen. It is a conscious, you know, it's kind of like those who have committed adultery or who have had wrong relations with somebody, and they go, man, I don't know what happened. It was just like all of a sudden, boom. Yes, you know what happened, because in your mind you schemed the whole thing. And people go, no, sin is a decision, period. Righteousness is a decision, and I'm going to say this, righteousness is a harder decision than sin. Because, man, righteousness requires you to deny yourself. And who here likes to deny themselves? Last night, my daughter asked me if I would make a flurry. And so now my flurry is vanilla ice cream with fresh strawberries and chocolate chips. Doesn't that sound good? Holy smoke, it is good. And so, let me just give you a little tip. Do the ice cream first. If you want it all one smooth smoothie, do it all together. But if you want the strawberries to be a little chunky so you can get a bite and it really go, wow, that's good, like it separates out and the chocolate chip separates out, then do the ice cream and the milk first. Okay, never mind. Anyway, So at any rate, I'm like, it's 10 o'clock at night. I have issues where if I eat after 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, I really, my digestive system just abuses me. And And so I was like, man, it's 10 o'clock at night. And of course, they're young. They're kids. They can eat the kitchen and it ain't going to matter. And so anyway, I was like, there you go, Dad, would you make it? And I go, yeah, I'll make it. And then they ruined it, though, because she wanted chocolate ice cream instead. And I go, really? You just trashed this wonderful, wonderful recipe of mine. And so so she trashes it. Just absolutely destroys it. I asked my wife, you want any? And she's like, no. And I asked my other daughter, do you want any? No. And then I'm like, well, I don't want any, but I'm going to make it just for you. Why? Because I love you. And there's no other reason I'm going to make it. And see, I look in that direction because they're sitting together and nobody still knows who it is. And so because I love you, it's 10 o'clock at night. I'm going to let you stay up late and eat this thing that is completely unhealthy for you. But hey, I'm in. So I get up and I make it and I hand it to her and I make it in like the bullet cup, you know, just a little, well, 16 ounces. And so I make the whole thing and I hand it to her and I go, enjoy. She gets halfway through it, sets it on the counter, and I go, are you going to finish that? To which she responded, no, it's after 10 and I don't really need any more. And I'm like, really? I just made this thing for you and now you're complaining it's after 10 o'clock? Well, guys, we can't let it go to waste. Right? So I pick it up, and I look at it for a moment. And then in my mind, I went, I got Nexium. Right? Right? See, guys, we process information. We make decisions. And we justify them. And it was really pretty good for chocolate ice cream. So I get down to where there's that much more. And then in my mind I went, right, okay, that much. Everybody see that? And we started out with that much, and now we're down to that much. And I went, you know what? It's after 10 o'clock. I don't need to finish it. And so I justified it, right? I didn't eat the whole thing, mainly because the bottom was melted and it was too runny and it's not cold enough. So, at any rate, just being honest. But guys, we justify our sin. We make decisions to sin or to not sin. I'm not telling you ice cream at 10 o'clock at night is a sin. What I am telling you is that we justify what we do. And guys, we're going to go into another week of this chapter. Well, praise Jesus. All right. So second is their disregard. And so if you look in verse 29, and look here in 129, and it says here, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, and then wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, and then murder. And so what happens is these people have no regard for sanctity of life. Do you guys realize how many abortions happen each year? Do you guys know yesterday morning that we had a New York police officer in plain clothes? He was a detective. And he got a call that somebody had a gun. This was yesterday morning, by the way, guys. He had a gun. And so the officer was approaching him. And the guy pulled the gun out, shot him in the chest, and then shot him in the head. No regard for life. No regard for life. Abortion, listen, to your pro-choice people, and if you're pro-choice in here, I'm going to pray for you. But to pro-choice people, abortion is just birth control. That's all it is. It's just, what do you mean? There's no baby there. It's not a baby until it reaches certain time. Let me share this out loud. Are you ready? Sweetie, if it's not a baby, you're not pregnant. Period. If it's not a baby, you are not pregnant. You're only pregnant when it is a child. But there's no sanctity of life, no thought of life. It is their disregard. And I'm not gonna dwell on that, but I'm just gonna say we need to get a hold of ourselves in this society. Third, their deficit. Paul uses the word malignity. He uses some other words in here in verse 29. And he says here in 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers. And listen, here's what we're talking about. We are literally talking about the deficiency in their character. It's just bad character in general. The fourth is their disobedience. Disobedient to parents here in verse 30, right? They're backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Oh my goodness. Parents, here's my recommendation. Take them home and beat the snot out of them. Okay. I mean, what else can you say, guys? There's like no denying what's happening today. There's no denying that parents are allowing children to do whatever they want, and then the parents will justify it. It is insanity. Listen, there is being wrong, and if your child is running through somebody else's house, your child is breaking things. You know, a friend of mine who's a principal at an elementary school, and any rate, this boy was in the fifth grade. Fifth grade. Somebody say fifth grade. Fifth grade. All right, so he's in the fifth grade. He goes up to his teacher. And when he goes up to his teacher, he grabs hold of her skirt and lifts it up in front of the whole class. And you know what dad's response to that was? He's a child. Boys will do boy things. What did he do wrong? Are you kidding me? Or how about this? Another child goes into the bathroom, right? And then he takes his own product and writes horrific words on the wall with it. To which the parents respond, he is a child. He does not understand what he's doing. He's in the fifth grade. Are you kidding me? And so, listen, when we're talking about disobedient to parents, do you know why children are disobedient to parents? Because parents are disobedient to God and they allow their children to run their lives. There's no other reason, guys. Parents be parents. You say, well, I don't want to injure my child. Do you realize that God says that if you spare the rod, which is the paddle, that you hate your child because you don't love your child enough to raise them up in the way of God? You don't love your child enough to set them up for success. It's not a bad thing to spank your child and put them on the road to rightness. It's really not. Listen, you know why the law says it is a bad thing? Because they want to control your children because it's Satan's plan to destroy the country. And not just our country, but it's worldwide. Parents be parents. That's my hobby horse, as you could tell. I got a little excited. I'm back down to earth now. The fifth one. And we're gonna end. By the way, go to 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. This is on disobedience. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Oh my goodness. Guys, we need to get this, that they will be disobedient. Then we're looking at the fifth thing, and we'll stop after this one, and then next week we'll finish up chapter 1. So, hey, what are you going to do? Amen? Fifth is their deceit. They are, in verse 31, look here in 31, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Their deceit, which is they are untrustworthy. Look, I want you to look here in Ecclesiastes 5:4. Go ahead and pull that up for me real quick. Ecclesiastes 5:4. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Now, just leave that there, please. I want you to see right here that God says when you make a vow to him, you pay it. You do it. You live it out. God expects you to keep your word. Now, here's what we have today. You know what? Oh, I know we got married. I'm looking at you saying, I know we got married. Let me look at a woman. No, because then they'll hold me. I know we got married because, you know, that's a foolish thing between him and I. I know we got married, but you know what? I just don't like the way that you stand, and so I'm going to go ahead and leave. And besides that, you hurt my feelings, and I don't like that. So, goodbye. And we walk out, right? Do you realize that in the Old Testament, divorce, they could divorce their women, their wives, for, let's pretend that they had toasters back then, for something as simple as burning the toast. You messed up. That's a right to divorce. I'm out. And you know, today, people are untrustworthy because people are bailing out. They're not keeping their vows. Oh, I promise you, God, if you get me out of this, I will go to church forever. And God, I'll tithe and I'll do all the right things. God, if you just save me, and then God saves you. And you say, well, you know, God, I was a little delirious then. I was kind of under duress. And so you can't really hold me accountable for that. And people are untrustworthy. You know, I have so many people go, hey, pastor, why don't we do this ministry? And I go, you know why we don't do this ministry? You don't have anybody to do it. And then when we do have somebody to step up and do it, most of the time, they're uncommitted and they back out and they run. Untrustworthy. I'm going to tell you, today, in this day and time, commitment is a bad word. We don't use the word commitment. Why? Because it might hold us accountable to something that we said we would do. Commitment. Being untrustworthy. Let me encourage you. Next week we'll finish up this chapter. But I want to encourage you to pay attention to what the Word of God says, because he's pretty clear. I'm going to finish up with this verse, verse 32. You notice every week I finish up with this verse? Because I want you to get it. Verse 32. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Listen, if you are approving of this lifestyle of anybody, God's going to hold you just as accountable as if you're doing it. Why? Because we're called to be righteous. And I think the reason people are not afraid of God and that they're constantly spitting in his face by living a wrong life, I think the reason is because you don't have a right relationship with God. And you love yourself more than you love him. And you go, pastor, that's harsh. No, that's reality. Do you know why I take care of my children and my wife? Because I love them. Do you know why I sit down and watch chick flicks with them? Because I love them more than I hate chick flicks. Right? Do you know why we go shopping? Because I actually like shopping. But listen. There's things that we do for our loved ones, and we do them because we love them more than we hate the act. Do you know why I moved to New York? Because I love Jesus more than I hated the cold. Do you get what I'm saying? And so when we look at this, and you're approving of wrong things, it's because you love sin more than you love God. And God will hold you accountable to that. Next week, I'll finish up with the rest of you that I didn't cover these last 2 weeks. But I just want you to think about this, and I want you to think of your life. I want you to look at what you're doing. I want you to pay attention to your actions. I want you to discern, am I living for God? And people go, well, how do I know? You ask yourself this question, am I pleasing myself or am I pleasing God with my decision? And if you ask yourself that question, God will reveal the answer to you. And then you just go, okay, obviously this is conviction. And by the way, if there's a question mark of whether you should or shouldn't do it, the best thing is don't do it. Just err on the side of caution. Our goal, guys, is to please the Lord. And we live in a time and a day where that's just not acceptable. And I want to encourage you to do that. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today, you can't please God if you don't know him. You can't hear his words. You can't apply them to your life if you don't know him. So I want to give you an opportunity today, if you're here, and you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. You believe that he conquered death and hell and that he is at the right hand of the Father. If you believe that, the Bible says that that belief in Jesus Christ, it's belief in that it is salvation. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to encourage you to think about where you're at. And if you're here today and you don't know for sure that if you were to die that you would go to heaven, you don't know for sure if you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, I just want to give you an opportunity and I want you to pray this prayer with me. Now, you only pray this prayer if it's your desire to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Now, this prayer is quiet. It's between you and God. And the words don't save you. It is your heart condition that you truly believe it. And it is truly your desire to surrender your life to Christ and you believe unto Jesus for your salvation. And so quietly in your heart, you repeat after me, Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I recognize I am a sinner. I recognize I have done wrong. But today I surrender. Today I repent of all my sins. Today I believe Jesus Christ is my Savior. If you prayed that prayer, I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise you. But if you ask Jesus to be your Savior, will you just lift your hand so I can rejoice with you? Today, I gave my life to Jesus. If that's you, will you just raise your hand? Amen. Anybody else? Today, I gave my life to Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'd be with the one that raised their hand. Lord, that you would just put a hedge of protection about them and keep them safe, Lord, as they grow and mature in your word. Lord, that you would keep Satan away. Lord, today for those who are choosing to live a lifestyle that you know, Lord, is contrary to you. And Lord, that it's been a lifestyle that they've been consistently living, Lord. There's no sign of righteousness in them, Lord. No sign of Jesus being their Savior. Lord, I pray that you would have mercy on them, Lord, but that you would break them and call them unto